You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, folks, our Drugal guest today is Pat O'Brien. He is a board member for CFI Canada, Center for Intelligence, and he's an atheist. He's the former president of Humanist Canada. He is probably one of the nicest guys I've come across in a long time. He was the guy that hooked me up with Vancouver Comedy Fest out there in Vancouver, of course. And he sent me a lovely email, which I will share later because I don't want to waste his time. He's got to go soon. So let's get Pat on the phone right now. Pat, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Drew. How are you?
I'm sorry for being a tad late there. We had a bigger name. So, when you first...
Can I just correct one thing? It's the Center for Inquiry.
Oh, you know what? This whole time I've been having so much fun calling it the Center for Intelligence.
I know. But, I mean, there's a lot of intelligent people there. Don't get me wrong.
But it was much more fun to be able to pick on it the other way, you know.
I know.
My apologies to all the CFI gang. I knew that, and I just made a mistake. Okay. Well, how did you find out that I was all of a sudden going through a crisis of faith?
Well, I receive your weekly updates.
You do?
Oh, yeah. And there it was in big, bold letters, crisis of faith, Drew's questioning the existence of God. I thought, good for him. I think the last time I was on your show, I told you, I said, Drew, you're as close to being a humanist as you can be without actually making the leap.
Right. Well, if you read in any part of my journey, you know, you could kind of summarize the whole thing by saying, I've been following Jesus pathetically for 30 years, and I just feel like a kid who wants to be held by this spiritual father, and there seems to be no interaction, no experience, no encounter that I've really had. And I'm tired of living off of rumors of glory, other people going through the same stuff and telling me their cool stories, and I sit there with my rational mind and go, yeah, I can explain that. So here I am going, man, I am not convinced there's a God. So what do you have to say to me, Pat?
Well, first of all, you're going through the same process that we go through with the Center for Inquiry. We look at things from a rational and objective a point of view as we can, and it sounds like you've come to much the same conclusion as many other theists have come to. You're in good company. Mother Teresa, I don't know if you read her...
Yeah, Dark Night of the Soul, yep.
Yeah, the one where the priest, her confessor, actually tells us what she really thought about her faith and her crisis of faith. So there's a lot of that going around. I don't know if you're familiar with Dan Dennett. He's one of the famous four horsemen of the anti-apocalypse, along with Hitchens, Dawkins, and Harris. And
right.
He's doing some research right now that I find fascinating. He's discovering that there are a lot of people out there who call themselves pastors, priests, preachers, that are standing up in pulpits all across America, all across the world, who don't believe a word of it.
Pathetic?
Well, you know what? You know how they came to the realization that they don't believe it? They came to it in seminary school. They came through a theological school because for the first time in their lives, they were forced with having to encounter their holy book from an academic point of view. In other words, who actually wrote it? What parts weren't put in? Who decided what parts go in?
Right.
Where are the contradictions? And they realized when they actually read it and actually look at it from an intellectual point of view that it's found wanting in many, many ways. So, you know, when you go at it from that point of view, that objective academic point of view, it's no wonder people have this crisis.
Now, let me point out that Pat and his gang are not into proselytizing at all. And this is probably a tad cheeky and awkward for you, but I've said to you, I want you to do that. It's the idea of this Drugal guest segment each week. I want you to try to talk me off the ledge, and you're not going to try to talk me back into my faith. I've asked you to say some things to me that might encourage me to jump. So... I want to give this, you know, both sides decent airtime. Knock yourself out.
Well, Drew, you said your whole shtick, if I can use that term, is that you're a Jesus guy. You follow the teachings of Jesus. It sounds to me like probably you ignore most of what's in the Old Testament and a lot of what's also in the New Testament, and you follow the teachings of Jesus, many of which are good, some of which are not so good. But, you know, the simple fact is that you can take all the good that Jesus said and you can live your life by that, without ever believing a word of what's in the Bible, without ever having to resort to divine revelation. It's simply not required. Everything that, all the good that's in the Bible that Jesus ever said exists in secular thought and writing, and there's lots of it out there that's available to read. So, and I think, you know, you can play the Pascal's wager game too, right? And I think that's been undone enough times that we don't even have to talk about it.
No, and I've said to many people, but the Pascal's wager, I've been hanging on to that. It's kind of like hanging on to your faith by your fingernails, and you can only hang on to your fingernails for so long, and then eventually you go, come on, is this real or not?
Exactly. I can give you one suggestion. There's a group that is organized by the Center for Inquiry in Toronto, and it's called the Living Without Religion Support Group. And this is people who have either no longer believe in religion or they're just recently out of it, or are on their way out and are just looking for some answers from I was going to say an unbiased, but I guess it's slightly biased point of view. But it's a group that meets regularly. I believe they meet once a month. You can go to CFI Toronto website, Google them, look for the Living Without Religion support group. Maybe there's others in your audience that might be interested. It might be worthwhile giving them a shot, going down, seeing what they have to say.
Are you able to summarize in a soundbite all the other guests I've said, why do you believe in God? I'm going to ask you in a soundbite, why don't you believe in God?
I see no evidence for it.
Even in creation?
Especially in creation. The creation myth, and every religion, every culture has a creation myth. Hmm. The creation myth that is in the Bible is certainly not factually true. I don't even think most theologians believe it's true.
No, not even just a scriptural account, but when you study the biochemical nature of the human body or the physics of the eye or the, pond scum.
Well, let's take pond scum. We don't want to talk about politics. let's talk about the eye. The eye is as great as it sounds, is actually a very inefficient organ. We have a blind spot in our eye right behind the retina where the optic nerve hits. There's problems with our sight that we don't even know about. Imagine being an eagle and being able to see a mouse from half a kilometer. I mean, their eyesight's so much better. The eye has evolved something like 40 different times over the period of mammalian evolution and reptilian evolution. So it's a work in progress. It's by no means perfect. And when you look at the physiology of a human being, no intelligent designer would have designed us this way. I mean, we're a mess. You look at all, I mean, the most predominant biological entity in the world is bacteria. They win every time. We're just kind of holding on, trying to hope our science keeps up with it.
Right.
But the fact is, you look at our digestive system, the fact that we have, why do we have an appendix? Do you know why we choke to death sometimes? It's because when our larynx dropped, allowing us to have speech, great improvement, it dropped in such a way that it allowed us to swallow food inhale food instead of swallowing it. Other animals don't have that. That's an evolutionary change that no intelligent designer would make. So I think the physiology of the human body and when you look around at the natural world and see the similarities of all organisms, you can see the evolutionary trail all the way through, and it doesn't require a designer, it doesn't require a God, it's all very easily explained without. So to resort to a God or an omnipresent being, I think is maybe comforting, but something that's comforting isn't necessarily true.
Did you have a faith background, Pat?
I was raised as a Catholic, people say, raised as a Catholic, well, no wonder you became an atheist. But I started my crisis in faith at the age of 13 when my parents accidentally bought me a George Carlin record, and I realized for the first time in my life there was an adult who actually thought the way I did. I'd never met an adult who didn't believe in God up until the age of 13. Maybe I didn't. I didn't know it. Suddenly I realized that the whole world opened up for me, and it started me down the path, which for me took a few years, and everybody comes to it differently, Drew. So whatever your path is will be your path, and if it ends in atheism, that's great. If it doesn't, then quite frankly, you're one of those, as I've said many times, you're one of those Christians that I think if every Christian was like you, the world would be a better place. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on your radio show.
No.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I'm humbled by it, and I've always appreciated our banter. I know it's been cut a little short today, but I have a feeling that you'll probably be back, somewhat like a recurring nightmare.
You know what? Hopefully it'll become a pleasant dream.
Pat, I know you got to go, but I really appreciate hearing your thoughts. This is the idea. It's just to get both sides, and let's work through this stuff balanced, if I might say.
Okay, and I appreciate you giving both sides. There's not many that do it.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Drew.
Take care. Bye-bye. Pat O'Brien, that's who that was, folks. If you were listening and you've tuned into a Christian radio station and you're wondering, what kind of heretical nonsense is that? Well, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. And that was Pat O'Brien. He is a board member for CFI Canada, which is the Center for Inquiry, not Intelligence. But there's so many more jokes can go with the other
yes.
one, right? CFICanada.ca. He is the former president of Humanist Canada. And can I read to you the letter he sent to me, the email?
Yes, please.
Would you
do.
Mind if I just shared that with you?
I don't mind.
Drew,
our listeners mind.
Drew, I was both saddened and pleased to hear of your recent dilemma regarding the existence of God. From our few meetings, I get the sense that you were one step away from humanism. In fact, I said so on your program. I understand the pain and conflicts you must be going through, especially to be so public about it. A cynical person might suggest it a stunt to gain an audience. Yes, you are a cynical person if you think that. If anyone suggests that, send them to me and I'll set them straight. As you move through this process, I would be happy to help in any way I can. I can be a guest on your show or a resource if you're just looking for fellowship with like-minded people. There are several Living Without Religion groups I can direct you to. Let me know if there's anything I can do, and if you do decide to stay with God, you will continue to be a shining example of what a Jesus person would look like. All the best, Pat O'Brien. So now you can see how Pat and I have kind of buddied up over the years.
Yeah, I think you should read that one and then juxtapose it with some of the angry ones you get and wonder, you know, what are we really doing as people of faith? Isn't it that, you know, the people of faith who always shoot their own, right?
Okay.
We don't try to take care of them at all.
Why don't I compare it with this one that I got?
Okay.
This is from someone who said he was from my hometown, and I emailed the person back and said, wow, I'm sorry you feel that way. Since you live in my hometown, let's get together and have a coffee and just, you know, meet each other. And the email bounced back as he gave me a fake email address. Please walk away and quit trying to pretend you can believe in Jesus but not God. Jesus is God. If you refine Jesus into simply a great teacher to pattern your life after, then he must be a deceiver because he affirms so much more. He receives worship, he claims to forgive sins, and that is his word supremely authoritative. If you trust Jesus, the Bible, you must trust all of what he says, including the existence of God. Please quit making everything about yourself, droogling and self-interviewing. It's honestly growing tiring. Unfortunately, authenticity can become a very subtle front for a look-at-me idol.
So I think that's the next thing that's going to come on television.
What's that?
Look at me, idol?
It already is. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on. So this is the point in the show. This is the point of our show where...
And I can see Manny. And I can see Jennifer.
Yeah, you're creepy now. where I'm going to read you some droogle bits. Brought to you by Tim Hortons. after each droogle interview, I'd like to share with you some emails and comments that I've received. And
so would droogle bits be faithless donuts? Or
yes, they are.
Nice.
They are. Let's see. Drew, this is from Donald in Virginia Beach. I've listened to your show and enjoyed both you and your guests. I find you to be very transparent and honest, which is refreshing. I'm sorry you're having a crisis of faith. I'm praying that God will reveal himself to you in a special way that will encourage you in your faith. I would say keep the faith, but that's the problem. I think I read that one before.
I don't think I've heard that one, but
no?
That's actually a nice one.
That's actually the one I use in my frequently asked questions segment, which I haven't posted yet.
Oh, okay.
Because it really is the best response to this whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe we should start a Center for Intelligence, and we could put that person in
good
there.
Good luck with that. So this is from Sabrina in Stratford, Ontario. I'd like to comment on the Drew Doubting storyline. I, as a person who spent many years in church driving, not ever truly satisfied with my faith walk, all the while seeing what goes on in the world every day, I can understand why someone questions their faith. I've come to much more rounded belief where I don't judge myself harshly every day and no longer allow others to do that either. I'm much happier while I believe in Christ. I try to live freely from the hindrances of organized religion and Christians. I will be following along avidly. Sabrina from Stratford. This is from Rob Johnson in Toronto, Ontario. Please notify Drew that his God encounter is in order. God left him a present 2,000 years ago under a star in Bethlehem. Please accept ASAP.
Nice.
God bless you all. This is from Ben Hudson in Kingston, formerly Toronto. Kingston was never formerly Toronto.
No, it wasn't. But we do have the hip, which are pretty cool.
I just want to say this whole droogle concept is very interesting and very necessary. As someone who thinks he still believes but isn't 100% sure, atheists lurking on one hand, Bible thumpers pushing on the other, I would like to extend my support to Drew and hope he finds an answer that will satisfy him. I will be following along intently, as I'm sure many others will.
Droogle concept. I like that.
This is from Joel. He's in Damascus, Syria. I'm not sure if he's really in Damascus or if that's a hyperbole or no, what's the English word for
Sudan?
It?
I don't know what it is. A fake?
Yeah, a cool fake thing?
Yeah.
My wife is a big fan of yours. Easy now. And I've just finished reading your bio and your post from the Comedy Fest. All I can say is God bless you and keep up the good work. I'm a Christian who's been doing this best, his best for 40 years now to live how God wants me to. I have an iconoclastic view of religion similar to yours. What a pain in the butt it is to have that. And have related to many of the things said and shared on your shows. I especially like Paul Young's interviews, but could also relate to Frank Schaefer. I made a lot of mistakes in raising my family that I wish I could go and do over. I'm 61, he says. And now I'm finding God in a new slash old and simpler way. Back to basics. I just had this thought. God is continually moving, yet never changes, and that's why I love him. God bless you, Drew.
And this is never changes like that.
This is from Brent and Barry. Just wanted to say I've enjoyed, if not agree, with everything I've read here. Definitely some good stuff to get people thinking and talking about what is wrong with the church today and what can we do to change that. So many comments.
Yeah. Been some good insight from a lot of people there. Positive and negative and somewhere in between on occasion.
Now I would like to share with you, take a moment to share with you some of the comments from our Tweet Me Off episode on Twitter. Basically, I'm having a conversation with Bruxy Cavey, teaching pastor from the Meeting House, at Bruxy, and Paul Young.
Author extraordinaire.
Who wrote The Shack. There's other people making comments along the way. But, boy, this thing has taken off. All they do at the end of it is put hashtag Droogle. So that's the number sign and then Droogle, D-R-O-O-G-L-E. If you want to open up your tweet deck and start a new column or whatever software program you're using, start a column, a search for hashtag Droogle.
What's the hashtag?
That's the number sign.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Australia, they call it hash. That's what they call it.
Really?
We call it pound up here.
Right.
But number sign is probably the
so
universal.
So if we mix them together, we could sound illegal with a pound of hash.
A pound of hash. That's good, Timmy. So number sign, Droogle, throw that into your, and you can follow this conversation. It's quite, well, I don't know. It's interesting and it's not interesting. Well, because there are some things. Let me give you an example of someone who posted something I thought was thankfully on the same page as me. Jesus reached for the scared and broken, but we judge those who don't feel God's love, saying they just aren't trying. You know how many times I've been told I'm just not trying hard enough?
Oh, yes.
Here's another one from Mag Story, by the way. She's a journalist who did an interview with me recently. I guess it'll be coming out in Christian Week. She says, God said that if you honestly looked for him, you will find him. But has he actually made good on that promise? Bruxy says, some of us seem wired to question everything. Changing beliefs is no solution. Doubt comes with us. Doubt says more about us than God. Do you agree with that?
Say it again.
Doubt says more about us than God. Some of us seem wired to question everything. See, this is not new. This is why my wife hasn't freaked out over me. She's like, yeah, I remember back in the early days you said this kind of stuff. So this is not new. You've been hanging on for 30 years, hoping for God to show up somehow. Changing beliefs is no solution. Doubt comes with us. Doubt says more about God than us. Sorry, more about us than God. Don't misquote Bruxy. Here's another one from Bruxy. So for me, the question is there a compelling reason to persist in one direction over another, despite my doubts? Here's another one. This is a retweet, I think, from... this is from another person. God loves us even if we don't love him back. Too sad today's church uses the doctrine of fear to preach the good news. That's a good point.
Yep, exactly. The juxtaposition or the oppositeness of fear versus faith.
Here's another person. Unbelief is the answer for doubt. I'm a much better person without belief.
Wow. Some of these are really quite thought-provoking.
I want to get to one here that I just was kind of a little frustrated with, if I can find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So do you want me to chat here while you're looking for it? That kind of thing? Like, kill some time?
You remember Sabrina the Pagan?
Yes.
She's involved with this conversation. She loves this stuff.
Uh-oh.
She says this. I'm loving the string of conversation, by the way. As in my messages to @HeavenWorker, I'm contrasting empirical belief with intuitive belief. Both are good to me, but not all have the latter.
Ladder would...
Who's got the ladder? Yeah. Why is there a ladder involved in this?
Yes.
Have you given any thought to my perplexing situation here, Tim?
I have. In fact, I thought about it a lot last week, especially with... I mean, people don't necessarily see what's going on in the studio, obviously, which is a good thing because, you know, we're wearing clothes. But the idea that, you know, I found last week's show very emotional for myself.
Why?
Just a lot of things that were going on with the guests, some very powerful statements. I mean, Candace was just so raw and so wonderfully, beautifully simple with you and her faith. And then we juxtapose it with, not that it was a bad thing, and I can't remember her name right now, about the whole, you know, not being able to confess in church and how people were nasty in those letters.
And
just,
Jackson.
Yes. And yeah. just how when people, you read that letter to her, I can't remember who it was from.
I read an email from an angry listener.
Yes. And she was just dumbfounded. And it just occurred to me that, you know, and then, of course, the whole thing with your son happening in the middle of the show, having to go to the hospital. I just walked away sick at heart for you. And we both have been going through our own, you know, walks in faith. One is maybe determined as a crisis. And I would, you know, comparing it to you, I would define mine maybe as not necessarily a crisis, but just a significant bump in the road. You know, I love that analogy of the soldier riding overseas for so long and not getting anything back from the father. You're at that point wondering, like, where is he? Like, maybe he's not even there. I'm at that point where I'm just sort of like, I still believe in him, but I am frustrated that he hasn't written back. So we're in similar places, but I still think very different. So your journey has struck me very, very big. Not just, I couldn't think of the right word.
Nice descriptor.
Hugely.
Profundely.
Yes. Center for Intelligence.
Yeah.
For me, it's eye opening. It's challenging. As I said before, you are definitely a guinea pig, and I've looked towards you as a rock in a lot of ways. And I don't mean that to put any pressure on you or anything like that, but you know, the conversations we've had when I went through my depression and not knowing what was going on, and you were there to support me through that. And it's funny how, I guess, all of a sudden I see you as very, heaven forbid I use the word human, and it's like, wow, you know, even Drew can have a crisis of faith.
Really?
Yeah, and because, you know what, I look up to you, not just because you're taller and thinner, but because, you know, you are able to be so honest with your faith. And up until this point, I hadn't necessarily noticed, maybe because you hadn't elaborated, just what you were going through in your heart.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, contrary to a couple of emails I've gotten which have said, basically, stop talking about yourself.
Yeah.
The reason you haven't noticed is because I haven't really talked about myself a whole lot, other than cheeky, fun ways.
Yeah, and you know, self-deprecation is a good thing, and I think that's, you know, doubt and maybe self-deprecation are very important to faith. You know, making fun of yourself, taking a stab at yourself. But
I've stabbed myself enough that I'm feeling quite holy.
Yes. Oh, good.
Here's a quick comment from someone on Drugal that this one, again, I guess it sort of encapsulates my frustration with coming out.
Okay. That would be with regards to a question of faith, by the way, listeners.
Yeah, there is a...
no more other hate mail.
There is a guinea pig aspect to this, and I don't mind coming across like a spiritual loser so that this discussion gets some airtime.
Because, yes,
unfortunately,
absolutely.
Whenever... I'm not going to say Christian leaders, because I'm not a Christian leader, but Christian personalities or whatever, whenever they struggle or they go through a crisis of faith where they can seriously sit there and go, yeah, I'm not convinced. Now, I'm not saying there is no God. I still pray. Because I'm sitting here, arms wide open, going... God, if you're real, please, seriously, 30 years, come on, one experience. I don't want to become a Pentecostal and have one every Sunday.
Yeah.
Just one. I'm willing to take these sorts of hits.
Yes.
For the sake of this conversation going public.
And I think that's what I was trying to say. That's another reason I look up to you, is because you are willing and I'm just a big wuss bag.
Ever try just being thankful for the little things in your life and focus on Jesus? You might find you already have God. My response to that is, thanks, Tips.
Read that one again. I just love how spiteful that sounds.
Ever try just being thankful for the little things in your life and focus on Jesus? You might find you already have God.
I love people whose faith is just so simple, and I'm not sure if I say
but
that
here's, no, but here,
tongue-in-cheek listen, or
I was confronted
really.
By a friend of mine last night who said to me, and she has the spiritual gift of faith, all right? I have a hard time relating to people that have the spiritual gift of faith. It's just like rock solid for them. They've never gone through this kind of wallowing ever, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So they're not going to get what I'm about, and I'm not going to get what they're about. But I still need to give some people the benefit of the doubt that although they might come out with a fairly shallow platitudes, in my opinion, I guess people still could be genuinely concerned and maybe praying for me, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And just because those people have this childlike faith and they actually do pray for parking spots and bloody well get them.
Yes. And free. Because the parking meter's broken.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The Holy Spirit jammed gum into the slot.
Yeah.
just because that's how their thing. I shouldn't poo-poo on them.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair statement.
So I got to eat some crow in that one, because it is sometimes it's, you know, I do get frustrated with those, because they're sitting there with this faith that I long to have. I'm just at the end of it. I don't want to give up my faith.
No, and I don't think anybody.
I want to believe in a creator.
Yes. And I know you have for years and years and years, but like your analogy about the soldier's perfect is you've been writing these letters in faith for so many years and you haven't really heard anything back yet. And I think it's unfair to just sort of go like, just look at the little things, like, you know, at least you've got the address. Like, okay, that's a little thing, but maybe you need a little more. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Right. I recently did this thing at our youth group. It's a multiple... How do I say this? A gentleman came up with this idea that there are different types of people that approach God in different types of way. There's aesthetics, there are enthusiasts, there are, you know, people who rattle cages, there are people who are naturalists, you know, get through God through nature. And it really struck me that wee be German. And it really struck me that indeed what happens is a lot of us look through our faith through these very narrow things. And we don't seem to let other people approach their faith
right.
in
and
their
that,
ways.
That's why I liked interviewing Makoto Fujimura and the art stuff
yes.
that he's talking about. Because what that world, he's opening me up to a world, not opening, that's, hold on, how do I
no,
say
no,
this?
No, I think that's fair
he's
to
helping
say.
Me be more aware that other people do life and get God in vastly different ways.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this thing showed me, this little process of going through. Like, it asks you a bunch of questions, and you mark down, like, yes or no, or, you know, rate it, and by the end of it, you add things up. I mean, it may be very simplified. But what I did, I realized afterwards, is I read the one that applied to me, and then I read a bunch of the other ones, and I started to think, you know, I know people who are like this. You know, and I had to say, like, maybe this person who wrote this letter to you, I actually had these thoughts as I was reading through them. Maybe this person who wrote this letter to you looks at it that way.
Yeah.
And maybe it helps us to understand how we, and if we take time to see that, to notice that people see God differently, then I think we can realize that we're all seeing God. We just see it differently, because I don't see it the same way as you. Doesn't mean that
right.
my faith is less than yours.
So the difference is, we got to wind this up to get to our next guest here. But the difference is that I've just sort of boiled it all down to, I don't care if you think this is immature or sucky, but for 30 years, I don't think that I've had an Abba Father experience.
Mm-hmm.
And here we live in a relational world, reading a relational book with an invisible person we're supposed to relationship with.
Yeah.
And there's a disconnect there for me.
Absolutely.
And if it is at all possible for me to have an encounter with God where I feel his love, or I feel his presence in such a way that I can't justify or rationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Then my hand's up for that one. Thank you very much. And the other people who don't need that at this point in their life, fantastic. I've been there for 30 years too. I haven't needed it. I pushed down because I grew up in the Mel Stevens school of theology, which is suck it up, princess.
You know, we all need doubting Thomases, and there was nothing wrong with Thomas wanting to feel the scars of Christ.
Right.
At all.
So I guess that's kind of where things are. However, since I've unleashed this, it's interesting the response from people, because the response has suggested, no, you're not allowed to ask for that.
Really?
Yeah. From both sides. From people that are saying, oh, I'm glad you're doing this, but and the other people saying, oh, shut up already. What I'm getting in overall, the overall pushback, the feeling I'm getting is, it's probably not going to happen, number one. Or, you're not allowed to. What we've been given is what we've been given. An encounter with Jesus once, 2,000 years ago, and a book that we have that tells the story over and over again for us. That's it.
Well, I disagree wholeheartedly with that.
Well, so do the Pentecostals. They get an experience every week.
No. Yeah, okay.
Man, I'm in so much trouble
today. Exactly.
For all of your hate mail, just what's your address, Tim? Just send that to Tim's house, please.
Bob at Bob F.
When we come back, Rachel Held Evans is her name, and she's the author of Evolving in Monkey Town, How a Girl Who Knew All the Answers Learned to Ask the Questions. Another battler, folks, in the world of faith and spirituality. I'm very much looking forward to hearing her story.
You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.